last night we headed out for our gospel light outreach, and we've only just restarted this Friday night outreach, and we take our outreach trailer and a hot meal, and we go and sit in the middle of where drug deals and all sorts of things happen, and we sit there and invite people to come, and we share with them the gospel as we're able, and just see what God will do. And before we headed down last night, we gathered in the car park and we prayed together. And I have been thinking, reminded actually, over the last week about the importance of the Holy Spirit at work in our lives, but also the need for us to be aware of what the Spirit is doing and what is going on in the spiritual realm. So during the prayer time, I just said that to everyone. I just said, I really think that we need to be mindful when people come along. We need to be asking, God, what are you doing in this situation? And we drove down there, and within 2 minutes of turning up, the place erupted. And we had a girl had stolen drugs from a unit where there was a massive party on because there had been a funeral. So there was over 50 people at this unit. And they've run, these two guys, I'm not laughing because it was funny at all, but the two guys chase this woman across the park. She's drug affected, almost demon possessed, in this park, screaming and yelling, half clothed. And these guys go to bash her, and she hides behind Paul. And I've just reminded everyone that we need to be praying about the Holy Spirit and asking God what he's doing. And I was reminded in that moment that we are in a spiritual battle. Yep. And I think that was really timely, because today we're following on. We've been on quite a journey the last couple of years as we've been going through these sessions here. And last time we were talking about the holiness of God and how we are called to live a life of holiness, and that life of holiness is defined by God's holiness. And we can only move forward in that life of holiness if we have the blood of Jesus in hand. And today I want to talk and explore that while we are on this journey and on this pursuit of holiness, God has given us a spiritual wardrobe. And I don't have a very big wardrobe. I know some women that have like doors and doors and doors of clothes, and I really don't know how many they end up wearing, but nevertheless, I think that can be the same for us sometimes spiritually. I think God has given us this incredible spiritual wardrobe that he asks us to put on, and we perhaps spend more time organizing our wardrobe, making sure that it's neat and tidy, that we know our theology inside and out, that we can present well if people come around and take a look, and we can show them our well-defined wardrobe, yet we're absolutely useless at putting it on. And that's where God intended us, for this spiritual wardrobe to be used. And I've just skipped over the whole half of my notes in that, because I'm very passionate about this. So I want to encourage us today. I want to take the time to slow down and go through two particular wardrobes that God has given us. There is one mentioned in Colossians, and then we also have the armour of God that's mentioned in Ephesians. And so I want to look through that. And then we're going to just talk about how we are to wear the the clothes, because it's pointless just putting on clothes if we don't take off what's unnecessary. And we find through scripture plenty of times, and we will read it as we go through the book of James today, there is plenty of times where it says put off. And so we have this idea that we have to put off the things of the world, the things that have not been given to us for this pursuit of holiness. And then we also need to be intentional to put on the things that God has given us. The Christian walk is not passive. We can't just sit there and go, wow, God, you are so holy, and sit there. And James will also address that as well. So while God has made us to walk with him and worship him along this pursuit and pathway of holiness, he has also intended and intentionally purposed that we are clothed appropriately for this journey. And he has given us this heavenly or a spiritual wardrobe so that our genuine faith can be visibly expressed through our character, our conduct, and our growth of spiritual resilience. He knows that we need to be equipped accordingly. He knows that on our own and unequipped, it is useless and we're lost cause. So let's read this passage in Colossians chapter 3, verse 12 to 17. Is there someone who'd like to read it out?
Yeah,
that'd be great.
Therefore, as the elect of God, holy and beloved, put on tender mercies, kindness, humility, meekness, long-suffering, bearing with one another and forgiving one another. If anyone has a complaint against another, even as Christ forgave you, so you also must do.
Down to 17.
But above all these things, put on love, which is the bond of perfection. And let the peace of God rule in your hearts, to which also you were called in one body, and be thankful. Let the word of Christ dwell in you richly in all wisdom, teaching and admonishing one another in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs, singing with grace in your hearts to the Lord. And whatever you do, in word or deed, do all in the name of the Lord Jesus, giving thanks to God the Father through him.
It's a short passage, but it's already you're getting this idea of the comprehensive wardrobe that God has given us to wear. Paul wants each piece of clothing that was mentioned there to be put on deliberately, to be practiced relationally, and sustained communally. We put them on and practice them and sustain them like a daily wardrobe that is chosen because we belong to Christ. We're not putting it on because we've been told to. We're doing it in response to our identity in Christ. These are not feelings, not passive feelings, but they are actions. They're not private virtues, but they are relational habits. And they are not occasional gestures, but they are a lifestyle that is shaped by the gospel. And so he mentions compassion. We are to wear compassion as our first response. As you read through the Gospels, we hear, and Jesus, moved with compassion, did. It was his first response. So how do we wear compassion? We move towards people's pain rather than away from it. That's uncomfortable. We allow time for our heart to be softened before our mouth speaks.
That's
often for some of us, uncomfortable. We take time to ask, what burden is this person carrying when they're displaying that frustrating behaviour? What burden are they carrying? We apply it by slowing down enough to notice suffering. If we go about our lives too busy, we're not going to see the details. We respond with gentleness rather than irritation. And we offer practical help, not just sympathy. While the words, "I'll be praying for you," are some very nice heartfelt words, the practical help often helps take that a little bit further. It sits with us. We can see that it's more genuine too. Or if someone says, "I'm going to pray for you," they follow that up with action. "I've been praying for you. What's been going on? How's God been answering you? How has He been meeting you in that need?" Then we have kindness. We wear kindness as our tone. You know how you can see someone and they either shine or you get vibes? I don't really like that word, but you know, weird tone. We wear it by treating others better than they expect. We speak in ways that make people feel safe and not small. There's a difference. How do we apply it? We use warm and generous words. We do small acts of good that cost us little but bless others greatly. We find value in the things that the world might not seem as valuable, but God does. And we assume the best before assuming the worst. Then we have humility. We wear humility as our posture. We wear it when we take the lower place. When we let others be seen, heard, and honoured. We remember that we are a recipient of grace. We're not the centre of the universe. I was sharing with Cara a little bit earlier that it has helped me to stop and consider what I have received from God and the amount of patience that He has had towards me and grace that He has had and given to me in my life when I'm struggling to give that to somebody else. It's humility. We apply it by listening more than we speak, by admitting fault quickly. With Rhoda the other day, I think it was like three times in a day, I was like, "I was wrong and you were right." "I was wrong, you were right. Here we go again." And we celebrate others' successes without envy. Then we have gentleness or meekness. We wear it as a strength that is under control. The opposite of gentleness and meekness is pride, because it is strength that is out of control. How do we wear it? We respond softly, even when we could respond sharply. We use our influence and the gifts that God has given us to lift others, not dominate them, or manipulate them, or try to control them. as we think they should be. And we apply it by correcting without crushing, leading without lording, being approachable and not intimidating. Then we have patience. We wear patience as our pace. We give people time to grow. We endure frustration without retaliation. We apply it by delaying our anger, persisting in love even when progress is slow, and accept that God's timetable is not my own. Then we have bearing with one another. We wear this as our commitment. We don't just walk away. We bear with one another. We stay in relationship even when people are difficult. I have a little caveat there. There are times, absolutely, when the relationship must come to an end and it's unsafe to remain. And that is not a lack of commitment or a lack of bearing with one another. It's actually wisdom. And we carry each other's weaknesses rather than complain about them. I don't do that very well. How do we apply it? We don't walk away easily. We make space for people's imperfections. And we choose long suffering over short temperedness. Then we have forgiving one another. And we wear this as our reflex. When we're prodded in the wrong way or something hits our funny bone, that immediate response, forgiveness, is our reflex. We wear it by releasing the debt quickly. We wear it by remembering how Christ forgave us, and we let that shape and motivate our forgiveness. We let go of grudges. We speak blessing instead of bitterness. And we forgive repeatedly, not reluctantly. And then we have love. We wear it as our overcoat. Paul says there that love binds everything together in perfect unity. It is the outer garment that holds the whole wardrobe in place. We wear it by letting love be the motive behind every other virtue. We choose the good of others at cost to ourselves. We apply it by serving without seeking recognition, speaking truth with tenderness, and making unity more important than winning. And then Paul moves to inner clothing. We have the peace of Christ ruling our heart. And we wear it, we wear the peace of Christ as the internal governor. We let Christ's peace decide our reactions. We let peace be the umpire that calls your inner shot. I often, when I'm talking to our children and they're trying to make decisions, I say, where does your peace lie? You've taken that to God, you've asked him what you should do. Where is the peace? Don't make a decision until you have peace. Let Christ's peace rule our hearts. We refuse to be ruled by anxiety or anger. There's a difference between being ruled by and those things happening. Jesus has the upper hand. We seek reconciliation quickly. We desire peace rather than chaos. And we work towards cultivating calmness in conflict. Then he says, let the word of Christ dwell richly. The word of Christ should be our inner script. We should let scripture saturate our thinking. Soak in it. Let Christ's teaching shape your instincts. You can't be saturated in a bath without going wrinkly. That's how long we should be in God's word. Deeply saturated so that it shapes our instincts, our inner being. We find ourselves making the decisions because we've seen this in God's word, because he's revealed to us something. We apply it by reading, meditating, memorizing, and singing scripture. Teaching and encouraging others with biblical truth. And letting God's word be the soundtrack of our life. And then he finishes with thankfulness. We wear this as our attitude. We wear it, we practice gratitude until it becomes our default. Until we begin to see, well, not until, but keep going, we see God's grace in every circumstance. Do we see more and more, or are we able to more and more see God's grace in our days? I often talk about this as God's fingerprints. How have we seen God at work in our lives and see his grace? We speak thanks often. We pray with thanksgiving, not just requests. And we replace our complaining with praise. I'm going to ask Malia, she's going to come and sing us a song. And I didn't actually put the words on the sheet.
Because you're in the house room, don't you?
Yeah. After we had dealt with this drug-affected woman and if things had settled down, Malia pulled out the guitar around the fire last night and sang the song. And I was like, this would be perfect
tomorrow. I need to scroll.
I can do that. But as she's singing and playing it, I would encourage you to look over those pieces of the wardrobe and consider what are you currently wearing? Thank you.